Good morning, brothers and sisters. As we approach His throne of grace this morning, let us spend a minute or two to enter a time of confession. Specifically, I would like us to pray about acceptance. Do you find it difficult to accept any brother and sister in our church community? A brother or sister that Christ has died for and is accepted by Him? Perhaps because he or she looks different or behaves differently from you, or perhaps he or she annoys you by insisting on certain ways of doing things, or he or she has a very different opinion on matters you care about. Let's come to God to confess if we ever intentionally make people feel that they do not belong. Let us come before our Lord and ask for His forgiveness. Dear Father, we confess that we frequently harbor prejudice against others just because they look different, they think differently, or behave differently. Christ came to die to remove the dividing wall between the Jews and the Gentiles, who are vastly different from each other. As the world is filled with voices that are trying to cancel each other, and sometimes with very violent means, we pray for a renewal in your church. Help us to reconcile with each other and be willing to give up our own comfort or sometimes even our insistence on doing things certain ways. For the sake of building up our brothers and sisters for your kingdom and not tearing them down. Father, we used to live in this world pursuing idols in our hearts. We thank you for the awakening of the Holy Spirit, so that we can have joy and peace overflowing from our hearts, even in the midst of trials, and live an abundant life with a renewed mind. Father, as members of your church, learn to reconcile with each other. Help us to be a channel of your love and truth. Give us wisdom on how to bring the gospel truth and God's purpose, presence, and power through the church to the community we live in and beyond. We pray that one day peoples of all nations will rejoice under the banner of Christ to praise you and glorify you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us turn to Romans chapter 5, verses 8 to 13. I would like to invite you to stand and read God's word together. We'll use the ESV version. For I tell you, that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol Him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. This is a reading of God's word. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters, the title of my sermon today is Unity in Diversity. Unity in Diversity. Have you ever felt that you are not truly accepted by the people around you? Even though you may live in the same area or You might even speak the same language. What's worse, have you ever made people feel that they don't belong by the way you talk or act, either plainly or in a subtle way? I still remember the testimony of a junior high counselor. He was sharing why he wanted to serve in junior high. You see, when he was a junior high boy, he was considered by many as a nerd, wearing thick and black and large eyeglasses. And he felt that he had troubles making friends, even in the church junior high youth group. One day he was so troubled by it, he was crying at the corner in the church. So a junior high counselor simply quietly walked over, sat with him, and cried with him. That's the day when he felt that at least he was accepted by one brother. And this is why he wanted to serve as a junior high counselor during his college years, when he had a very challenging schedule, so that he could reach out to those who might be marginalized. Sometimes an entire group is rejected by a community. In 2003, I made my first short-term mission trip to Hungary near Budapest. And to serve among the Romani people, or Roma, and sometimes they were referred to as gypsies, but that was actually a misnomer because people thought they were from Egypt, but they were actually from northern India. So the Romani people were not accepted by the local Hungarians because they felt that the Romani people are inclined to become criminals and to steal and things like that. But the fact is that because they were discriminated against, it was very difficult for them to find real jobs. So the unemployment rate of the Romani people was 85%. So the local Hungarian churches did not even want to reach out to the Romani people, even though they were in their neighborhoods. So it took a missionary from Brazil in a church in central Jersey to partner with a local Hungarian church to finally hold an outreach event for the Romani people in that neighborhood. By the way, at that time, we set up a large tent for VBS during the morning and evangelistic meetings in the evenings. And the Hungarian co-workers had to take turns watching the audio and video equipment in the tent, despite hundreds of mosquito bites every night, because they were afraid the AV equipment might be stolen by those in the neighborhood as we ministered to them. Starting in Romans 12, we learn how to live a new life, empowered by the Spirit to match our new identity in Christ. As we are renewed and transformed by Christ individually, God's purpose for His church is always to begin to bring His love and truth to the communities that we live in. So Romans 13 began to talk about how to be a citizen in our community and our responsibilities to the state. But in Romans 14 to 15, Paul wanted to deal with a very critical issue inside the Roman church. How do we accept one another in the church when there are brothers and sisters from very diverse backgrounds, maybe with different life practices and possibly because of different worldviews? How we live that out in our church is going to impact how we witness to the community around us. And in Romans 15:7, which was covered in last week's sermon, we were told to accept one another for the glory of God. And today we come to Romans 15:8-13, where we see how God's plan through Christ and the Holy Spirit is for the Jews and Gentiles to worship Him together. Even though this is a short passage, it's very rich in content. It covers topics such as unity in diversity, missions, prophecy, and God's faithfulness and mercy. So the main idea of today's passage is this. God will build a unified church from all races to worship Him through the foundation work of Christ and empowering of the Holy Spirit. And we have three divisions. The first division is from verses 8 to 9a. Through Christ the servant, God showed His faithfulness to the Jews and mercy to the Gentiles. And the second division is in verses 9b to 12. Through Christ the King, we have a unified church of all races worshiping God together. Verse 13. Through empowering of the Spirit, we will abound in hope for unity, filled with joy and peace. So the first section, God's faithfulness to the Jews and mercy to the Gentiles. Now Christ came as a servant. And the word servant or service actually also means ministry. A servant is someone who sacrificed his comfort for the benefit of others. His focus is not himself, but on the ones he serves. Christ is a suffering servant that even gave his life for you and for me. And Christ's ministry started from the Jews as the priority, with the aim to prepare the remnant of the Jews to reach out to the Gentiles. And we can see this illustration in stage one. So if you look at this picture of stage one, Jesus did not ignore Gentiles, as we could see from the story of the Samaritan woman. When He spoke to her near the well, you know, the Samaritans, the women, they were despised by the Jewish men. But He intentionally reached out to those groups rejected by the Jews or not valued by the society. And His good Samaritan story also showed that He redefined who our true neighbor is. It's not necessarily someone who looks like us or a group that we're comfortable with. So that's why in this picture, we have this dotted line that shows that Jesus did reach out to a few Gentiles. Regardless, his primary ministry was on the Jews, because He was preparing the believers among them one day to bring the good news to the Gentiles, as we can see in this picture. He came to remove the hostility between the Jews and the Gentiles, thus removing this dividing wall in the middle. And this is very similar to the Hungarians reaching out to the Romani people, even though there was a dividing wall between them. But because of the gospel, they were finally ready to bring the good news to a people that did not value, a people that did not feel comfortable with before. So Christ came to do two things. One is He shows God's faithfulness by fulfilling His promises to the patriarchs, and because He came as the Messiah of the Jews. But also through the Jews sharing the gospel to the Gentiles, He also fulfilled the promise God gave to Abraham, because through the offspring of Abraham, which was pointing to Jesus, all the Gentiles will be blessed. Unfortunately, in the Roman Church, which consists of the Jews and Gentile Christians, we learn from Romans chapter 13 to 15 that they did not seem to get along, and each side was judging the other side critically, either on issues related to food, drinks, or days and festivals. So in Christ's church, there are people with cultural backgrounds different from yours and mine. But if they were accepted by Christ, who died for them, who are we to reject them? So Christian fellowship cannot be about cliques, and not only for people who are popular, talented, or sociable. You cannot only fellowship with those you're comfortable with. Now, on the other hand, it does not mean that we tolerate behaviors that are not consistent with the Christian identity, but we need to speak the truth in love, not with an intention to tear down a brother or sister, but to build him or her up. And this brings up to the second point from verses 9b to 12. Through Christ, we have a unified church of all races worshiping God together. So these verses may seem similar, but they actually present an interesting progression. And each verse cites at least one OT passage from the prophets, from the Psalms, or from the law, or Torah. So stage one, and we're going to reuse the same picture. The Jews glorified God among the Gentiles. And this actually cites Psalm 18:49. Romans 15:9b actually cites from Psalm 18:49. And I'm going to read this for you. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations and sing to your name. And this is what this horizontal arrow showed. The remnant of the Jews, they will go into the Gentile nations and to preach the good news. And we see in the four gospel books and the book of Acts that the disciples of Jesus did preach the good news to the Gentiles faithfully and praise God among them. And that was stage one. Now stage two, after the Gentiles received the good news, they rejoice with the Jews. And this is in Romans 15 verse 10. Which cites Deuteronomy 32:43. And I'm going to just cite the beginning of that verse. Rejoice, you nations, with his people, referring to Jews, for he will avenge the blood of his servants. So if you look at the stage two picture, now the Gentiles, after responding to the good news, rejoice with the Jews together for their salvation. So recently, a seeker who has been attending our gospel talk class regularly accepted Christ as his Savior. And many co-workers rejoiced with this new brother and welcomed him to the family. And that's a proper response. When someone receives the salvation, we rejoice together. Now, the stage three is that all the Jews and Gentiles, after we rejoice because of a salvation, they praise the Lord together in the same church. And this is in Romans 15:11, which cites Psalm 117, verse 1. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. So, in Acts 15, the Jerusalem Council, we saw how the Jewish church leaders, they accepted and welcomed the Gentiles into the church without imposing any unnecessary yoke on them. As the leaders recognized, the same Holy Spirit was given to both the Jews and the Gentiles. There is no distinction. Those who heard the decision rejoiced together. So our deep appreciation of his salvation always leads to the true worship of him together. And that was stage three. All the Jews and Gentiles together praise the Lord in the same church. Now, stage four, which is Romans 15, verse 12, it cites Isaiah 11:10. So Christ shall reign in our hearts and in our nations. It says that in that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. That means people of all nations. And the nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. So we see that now Christ the King, the root of Jesse, who is the father of, who was the father of King David, will rule over all nations. And this is reflected in the church today. We have believers from all races, all nations. But the task is not yet complete. This is stage 4. I don't know if you have seen this song, Amazing Grace, on YouTube during the pandemic time, COVID-19 pandemic. The Christians from 15 nations singing together, and that's the link of this YouTube song. And that was beautiful. It gave us a glimpse of what it's like in heaven. So Jewish Christians, they were very faithful in sharing the good news to the Gentiles, even though they were very different peoples. Would the church today share the gospel truth and God's purpose on justice, love, and righteousness with our surrounding communities and eventually to the world? And this brings us to the third point. Through the Spirit, we will abound in hope for unity, filled with joy and peace. See, verse 13 is mainly a prayer that appeals to God to work among the Romans so that the unity Paul urges them to pursue will become a reality. It is the same prayer we have in our church. And we have an excellent context to start with. In RCCC, we have three congregations: the Mandarin congregation, the Cantonese congregation, and the English congregation. Now, even in the English congregation, we have people from all kinds of races and cultural backgrounds. And we are reminded that now Gentiles have hope because this God of hope is faithful and merciful, as we learn in the first point. And the joy and peace in this verse reminds us of the kingdom values in Romans 14:17, a previous chapter, when we are in the Holy Spirit. So let me read that verse. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we need to have a kingdom view, not a self-centered view, and this unity can only be achieved when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, which seeks to build us up for His kingdom, not by our own flesh, which is self-seeking and focusing on only our own interests. And that is contrary to what Christ came to do as a suffering servant for His ministry to both the Jews and the Gentiles. So Christ started a ministry among the Jews to bring the good news to the Gentile so that we can have people of different races in the same church to praise Him. He also gave us the Spirit, which will guide the church to bring the good news to all nations. Tony Evans, in his excellent book on racial reconciliation, Oneness Embraced, he emphasized that God intends to use the church to reveal His manifold wisdom, His purpose, His power, and His presence. And this is based on Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. God also wants to use the church, a channel of His overflowing blessings, to the community, as described in Revelation 22, 1-2. So that's the reflection question today. If He is to use the church to demonstrate His love and justice, how do these passages teach us the role of the church on the issues of racial reconciliation? As I mentioned in my previous sermon, Love Your Neighbors, the church is not to enclave, but to engage with the community we live in. We are to overcome the evil of our society by doing good with deeds of compassion and generosity, especially during this pandemic and social unrest. As we learn to accept each other into God's family, let us wrestle with the racial reconciliation issues. Demonstrate to the community we live in what it means to have different races to live in harmony through the Church of Christ. in our community and beyond. We have this hope of unity because of empowering of the Holy Spirit. As Christ commanded his disciples in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." It is the power of the Holy Spirit that will enable a church to have racial reconciliation, to remove the judging spirit that could be inside each one of us, to feel indebted in love to one another, and to bring the good news to all communities and to the end of the earth. Recently, I was invited by a sister to participate in the teaching ministry to some pastors, leaders, and co-workers in northern India. These are very devoted questions. Honestly, I don't know how much I can offer on top of what they already know, but no, I truly enjoy the fellowship time together. During the study through the Zoom meetings, sometimes we would hear the roosters crow and everybody would laugh together, because while it was evening time in the East Coast here, it was the morning, 7 o'clock in India. But what I really like the most is the worship time in the beginning of each session, when we sing a song in English first and then in Hindi. And when you sing this song together with people across North America and Northern India, by the way, they are near the Himalayas. When we sing this song together, it was truly like heaven. And we got a glimpse of what was described in the book of Revelations. So before I conclude today's sermon, I'd like to share the story of a young Muslim woman who accepted Christ as her savior a few years ago. Unlike our Indian brothers and sisters, she could not publicly worship our Lord or with us. Otherwise, she would have been persecuted by people in her community. And actually, her own people is a minority group. It's kind of persecuted by people, the majority of people in their country. Just like the Romani people who are not welcome in Hungary. Regardless, she rejoiced in her salvation and she continued to study the word of God with our missionary whenever it's possible. So one day this missionary came back to our church and she brought an envelope from this sister. And we're wondering what this envelope is about. And this missionary put that in our tithing box. You see, after she became a believer and eventually got her first job as a medical doctor, she wanted to give 10% of her income to a church, but she didn't have a local one. So she decided to ask the missionary to bring the money to our church, since we sent and supported the missionary in the field. What she did was a beautiful thing, an act of worship. God knows her heart. God doesn't really need the money. The church can probably survive without that gift. But deep appreciation of salvation of a believer always leads to true worship. And giving is an act of worship. Let us rejoice that many unreachable groups like Hindus and Muslims are now turning to Christ. Let us praise and worship our Lord with peoples and tongues from many nations from the bottom of our heart. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you that Christ came to remove the dividing wall between the Jews and the Gentiles. We were without hope before. But now the faithful and merciful God is our hope. May the Spirit empower us to have unity in our church despite our diverse backgrounds. And may the Spirit empower us to bring your message of salvation to many unreached people groups. so that we can rejoice and worship the true King of all nations together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.